People talk so much about spending all day at work in meetings. It's meeting after meeting after meeting. The meeting ran on. Oh, I've got another meeting. Thursday is all meetings. What are these meetings for?
In the new series, David Mitchell explores our love-hate relationship with meetings.
Even though meetings are famously stultifyingly boring, you still want to be there.
You still want to be there.
Mitchell on meetings.
You might get the impression, listening to these programmes, that I'm someone who doesn't particularly relish the prospect of a meeting. And you'd be right.
Begins this Saturday morning at 10:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. And now on Radio 4, Nish Kumar takes the chair for another special edition of Just a Minute, recorded remotely from homes all over the country.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, it's Nish Kumar here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is a joy and privilege to welcome you to this recording of Just a Minute, and of course, to welcome our remote audience, joining us from homes all over the UK, and who knows, maybe even all across the world. Hello, audience! Before we begin in earnest, I should say I'm deeply honoured to be doing this job. It's actually not my first time hosting Just a Minute, because I hosted a version of it that we did at my school for a charity fundraiser in 2002. And I initially thought that I would recycle my script from 2002, but it was largely filled with references to Avril Lavigne, the Lord of the Rings movies, and the Wazz Up beer advert. I also feel that I'm very qualified because I'm one of the worst players of Just a Minute, and I believe I'm the only player in Just a Minute history to have successfully challenged themselves. So what I'm saying is, I know the rules, and I will be enforcing them, even if it means enforcing them on myself. So, let us introduce the four talented and lovely people who are playing Just a Minute from their own homes this week. On the bit of the internet on my right sits Giles Brandreth and Lucy Porter. Yay! And on the bit of the internet on my left sits Josie Lawrence and Zoe Lyons. Yay! Now, if you've heard the show before, and I think that one or two of you might have, you'll know I will be asking my guests to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And I should warn you, it's very unlikely we're going to get through this without absolutely shed loads of all three of them. So, on to round one. Giles Brandreth, can you show us all, and by us all, I mean me, how this is done? The subject on the card is eating like a horse. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on eating like a horse, starting now?
I know two things about the horse, and one of them is rather coarse. That is a verse by the great Ogden Nash. The other, a fact that I know, is how tasty horses are. This is because I went to a French school as a boy, the Lycée Français de Londres, where on Thursdays, or mardi, non, peut-être vendredi, on avait le cheval, the horse. That's what we ate. And I have to tell you, the flavour was like young, fresh reindeer. I do also know how to consume food like a horse off the palm of your hand. It's quite an amusing...
We've got a challenge. We've got our first challenge of the game. And the challenge has come in from Lucy Porter. Lucy, what's your challenge?
I think Giles knows a lot of things. And I think he said, no, I know this and I know that.
I think that you have spotted a great repetition. That's a point for Lucy Porter.
Sorry, Giles. You just know too much. We've always known that about you.
I was getting round to the nose bag in a moment.
I was going to buzz in because of the use of French, because I think after Brexit, that's not allowed in Just
Not unless he has a visa.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, so far, I think we can all agree this game is going very well and I'm a completely adequate host. So, it's a point to Lucy Porter. And Lucy Porter, you now have 24 seconds to continue talking to me without hesitation, repetition or deviation about eating like a horse. 24 seconds starting now.
I eat like a horse at Christmas dinner, meaning that I collapse halfway through and I wish someone would cover me with a...
A successful buzz has come in from Zoe. Lucy, I will tell you, in the Just a Minute industry, we call that doing a Kumar. Zoe, would you like to specify what your challenge is?
Well, yes, very much like a story there. She fell apart. She collapsed. There was a definite hesitation.
Like a horse, I should be shot.
Yes. I'm suggesting we take Lucy to the glue factory. That's what I'm suggesting.
Good old Glucy Porter. Lovely stuff. That's a point to Zoe Lyons, and there's 16 seconds left for you to talk to me about eating like a horse. Zoe Lyons, starting now.
I enjoy eating like a horse very much. I put all of my food into a giant trough and I nibble away at it, starting at the corners and moving into the middle. Usually there's a bit of fruit in there, but often I'll just stay with the hay because, of course, I am eating like a horse, and horses do enjoy eating that.
Absolutely incredible work. It's fun doing it like this because I can see the look in everyone's eyes. Normally when we do this in the radio theatre, you sit in a line and I could see the rising tide of panic in Zoe Lyons' eyes. I could see the cogs whirring. That's got to be 16 seconds.
It's all on display, Nish. It's all on display.
Fantastic. Well, Zoe Lyons was speaking at the end of that round and gains a point. Moving on, Josie Lawrence, I want you to speak to me for a minute without hesitation, repetition or deviation on Vesuvius. Tell us what you know about Vesuvius, starting now.
The last time I heard that word Vesuvius was in a beer garden in East London. There was this huge man who said, "Angry? I'm bleeding Vesuvius, mate." I thought it was quite fitting, this description, because Vesuvius is, of course, a volcano, and he was ready to erupt and full of hot air. Vesuvius can be found in Italy, not far from Naples, and of course it's most famous for destroying the city of Pompeii. Justin.
Oh, we've got a buzz from Zoe Lyons.
Oh, I thought I heard two cities. Was it the city of Naples and the city of Pompeii? Or have I? No, Charles has given me a no. I think I've just inserted that into my own head. I'm so sorry.
I didn't hear a city of, I'll be honest with you, I was too busy being absolutely impressed thinking, did Josie Lawrence spend time as a tour guide in Pompeii?
I have been there.
I think what I've done there is I've gone Naples is a city, Pompeii was a city, and I've repeated it in my own head. Sorry, Josie, that's what I've done there.
That's all right, Bab.
Zoe Lyons there issuing a challenge to her own internal monologue. Yeah. Fabulous Just a Minute play. We love to see it. I guess with the unsuccessful challenge, that means that Josie Lawrence, and she'll be delighted with this because I think she's got a few more facts up her sleeve, has 29 more seconds to talk to me about Vesuvius, starting now.
I'm sure the Pompeians must have been terribly Oh! Sorry.
For a second there, I thought, oh, wow, she's role-playing as a Pompeian, as the lava comes towards her.
No, I was doing a Kumar.
The challenge was from Giles. Giles, what was the challenge?
Well, there was repetition and there was hesitation and there was an eruptive moment. It was extraordinary.
The full house. Lovely stuff. OK, Giles, that is a successful challenge, so a point to you. And you now have 24 more seconds to talk to me about Vesuvius, starting now.
My great-grandfather was on an Italian holiday on the 5th of April 1906 when Vesuvius erupted. It was an extraordinary experience, and he told me about it during his great old age. This distinguished ancient...
Challenge,
upper...
challenge from Lucy Porter.
Oh, no, I thought it was your great-grandfather, and then I thought it was great again, but was it just your grandfather? I'm just trying to work out how old you are, Giles.
I'm old enough to have a great-grandfather who could have been around in 1906. In fact, my father was born in 1910, so I'm old enough to have a grandfather who was around in 1906. But my great-grandfather certainly was, and he went with his wife. Well, she was supposed to be his wife, but the truth
is... OK, now, hang on. The subject has not turned to Giles' Wikipedia page.
We called her Auntie. That was just a sort of technical term, I understand. Later life, I stayed at a rather amusing hotel in Folkestone. I brought the girl with me. I said, "This is my Auntie." Well, that's another story.
Hey, before I completely lose control of this, am I to believe that Lucy Porter, you are semi-withdrawing that challenge because you don't fully know what it was made on the basis of?
I think he said his great-grandfather, and then I think he said that something else was great.
Yeah, I think technically that's...
Is great-grandfather hyphenated?
It's a hyphenated word. It's an okay. It's a complete word.
Well, I'm being told that there were two greats, and the challenge is therefore upheld.
I'm so sorry. Great-grandfather... Oh, well, fine.
Listen, don't ooh me. I can't believe I've turned just a minute into Jerry Springer. Okay, Lucy Porter, after that hotly contested interjection, you now have 9 seconds to talk to me on the subject of Vesuvius, starting now.
Mount Vesuvius, they cried when I went to Naples. It turns out Vesuvius was the name of my young tour guide, and I was delighted to oblige. When Vesuvius erupted... It was saucy.
Well, well, well. What? I think we're all disappointed that we didn't get to the 10th second of that story. Lucy Porter, you were rather racily speaking at the whistle, so that's a point to Lucy Porter. Moving on to Zoe Lyons. I've got a subject on the cards here. Now, I understand Just a Minute is notionally supposed to be a comedy programme, so I'm not sure why they've given me a subject that is entirely deadly serious to give to you next, Zoe Lyons.
Uh-huh.
But for now, I'd like you to talk to me for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the subject of why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond.
What has happened to this programme? What has happened? Good grief.
I'll tell you what's happened, Giles. Political correctness has gone mad. Zoe, you have 60 seconds to talk about why Nish Kumar should be the next Bond, starting now.
I have very good reasons why Nish Kumar should be the next James Bond. It's been a long pandemic, and the only thing that has got me through this period of time is the thought of Nish Kumar exiting the sea in a pair of budgies.
Oh, we got a challenge from Giles.
The subject on the card is why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond. And I think Zoe, talking delightfully, is referring to Nish in the third person. She is supposed to actually embody Nish while she speaks. So it's deviation from the words on the card.
Giles is absolutely playing some nine-dimensional chess here.
You didn't... The question wasn't why Nish Kumar should be the next Bond. It's why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond.
So I had to become Nish Kumar in that moment.
Absolutely. What was on the card is why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond. There's some very good reasons why I, Nish Kumar, should be.
But Giles, she might be talking in the third person, but then double whammying it by talking as not being in the third person. I understand what I'm saying, don't we? Yes,
yes, Josie. Thank you. Thank you, Josie.
We understand what you're saying. It's not what she was saying.
So I would have to pretend to be Nish Kumar, who is James Bond. So, wow, that's like a whole conga of pretend people happening there.
Look, I'm going to take control of this situation. First of all, I'd like to thank Josie for invoking the sacred rhetorical principle of double whammying. We all recognise that. I think I'm going to have to give Zoe the benefit of the doubt here because in my mind, I was reading that card, why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond. I think that you can interpret that either as why talking about me in the third person, or you could choose to embody me. I think that that is open to interpretation. Therefore, I think Zoe Lyons is absolutely fine and should continue. With her minute. She has 46. Luckily, it's quite a long time.
It's quite a long time, isn't it? I think you'll be right back in there, Giles. I wouldn't worry, mate.
So, Zoe, 46 seconds starting from now.
Kumar. Nish Kumar. That's what I will say as I get out of my Aston Martin and walk towards the Casino Royale. Beautifully dressed in my dinner jacket, I will order, of course, a martini, which I will enjoy shaken, not stirred. A Vespa version of that particular cocktail, actually, which is a combination of both vodka and gin with just a splattering of martini to give it that je ne sais quoi, which I, Nish Kumar, also exhibit as the next James Bond. A pistol.
Challenge has come in from Josie.
Now, I'm going to be a bit harsh here, Zoe, my love, but I think earlier on you said James Bond, so it's a repetition of James.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. But I think we can all agree I was flying with very little there, wasn't I? It was just...
Hey. I don't think we can all agree with that at all.
It was the fumes of the imaginary martini that were keeping me afloat then.
I thought you were very cool, calm and collected, which is why you, Zoe Lyons, should be the next James Bond.
Well, yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Look, no one's disputing we'd all pay to see that, OK? No one's disputing that at all. But that successful challenge, expertly executed by J-Law, means that, Josie, you now have 12 seconds to talk about why I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond, starting now.
I, Nish Kumar, should be the next Bond because, well, just look how blummin' handsome I am. And my muscles are huge. I have a eyebrow that I lift very well and also... Can I just say it's a bit scary being Nish Kumar?
You're telling me, mate. Josie was speaking there, so the points go to Josie. I would also like to award Josie a bonus point for taking a second to acknowledge my excellent eyebrow-raising skills. And so I think I can do that. As far as I know, this is now a despotic regime.
Yeah.
So I think I'm allowed to just chuck bonus points around. So that means Josie was speaking at the end, so points to Josie Lawrence, plus a bonus point! Which means, at the moment, Lucy and Josie are joint leaders with 3 points. Zoe in second place with 2 points. And Giles, with 1 point, is bringing up the rear. That's where we are at the halfway stage. Brandreth's got everyone ahead of him. He's got you all lined up exactly where he wants you. It's all building up to the second half comeback. Let's kick off that second half comeback by turning to you, Giles. The subject on the cards is the War of the Roses. So I want you to speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the War of the Roses, starting now.
The War of the Roses. Well, it happens in our household every Christmas when we open that long looked forward to, eagerly anticipated tin of Cadbury's roses. 3 children and 7 grandchildren, we fight over the 9 flavours.
Challenge has come in from Zoe.
Sorry, yes, it's grandchildren, that's one word.
It's one word.
But, okay, I'm going to reverse slightly. It's not a tin, it's a plastic box of roses.
So. No! I'm so sorry. We recycle the same tin from 1958. It's a plastic box now. That's what the War of the Roses is all about. The young ones want the plastic box, the old ones want the tin. Oh, good grief.
And I am never going to penalise somebody for recycling. We can't be doing that in 2021. So credit to Giles for reusing his tin of roses for the last 60 years. And that is an incorrect challenge, but a lovely try from Zoe. Giles, back to you. You are still talking about the War of the Roses. You have 44 seconds remaining, and your time starts now.
Golden Barrel, Caramel, Country Fudge, Hazel Whirl, Strawberry Dream, Tangy Orange Cream. And then the controversial new one introduced, I think, in about 2007, an extraordinary signature truffle. This is the one we really fight over. The War of the Roses really goes berserk. We tear off the paper, we look at the...
Challenge has come from Zoe Lyons.
Now, there were two reallys there. That's the one we really fight over.
Two reallys. It's an excellent challenge.
Got your back for that tin.
This, in a pandemic, is what passes for an outstanding sporting event.
Maybe it should be like the Ashes, where you win Giles' tin.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say win Giles' ashes then. Going a bit far.
It's the Rose's tin with Giles' ashes in it. That's... I'm just going to pop Giles on the mantelpiece.
Oh, dear.
So that was a successful challenge from Zoe Lyons, which means you now have 25 seconds to talk to me about the War of the Roses, starting now.
The War of the Roses was, of course, a very historical moment in time when Lancashire and Yorkshire went against each other in battle using roses as their main form of attack. Yorkshire wielding around its head...
Oh. Challenge from Josie Lawrence.
A repetition of Yorkshire, I'm afraid.
Correct, it was a repetition of Yorkshire. Josie Lawrence, you now have 9 seconds to talk to us about the War of the Roses, starting now.
The War of the Roses was directed by Danny DeVito and starred Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas as two feuding people getting...
Challenge came in from Zoe Lyons on the whistle.
Unless she's spelling feud with several U's and O's in there. It was
how we say it in the Black Country.
Right, OK.
Oh, they was having a terrible feud.
Listen, and I do not want to incur the wrath of the Midlands, OK? My mum is from Leicester, and we know they are a furious people in that section of the country. So I am going to allow Josie Lawrence to have finished her point with her elaborate pronunciation of feuding. Josie was speaking where the whistle went. Points to her!
Thank you.
Now we move on to my fellow Croydon native, the lovely Lucy Porter. Lucy, I'm going to ask you to speak without hesitation, deviation or repetition on a subject I think that's very close to all of our hearts currently. And that subject is working from home. Lucy, 60 seconds on working from home, starting now.
Working from home does have some distinct advantages, like only having to dress from the waist up, and we are all enjoying letting things dangle today as we speak. I also relish the challenge of trying to educate my children while they are shouting...
Oh, a buzz. We got a buzz from Giles.
Excuse me. I don't want people thinking that we're all undressed in our lurk. I'm standing up so the audience can... What is this nonsense?
I did just say that so I could check that you were dressed, Giles.
Ah, yes. I mean, that was deviation from the truth.
I'm afraid I can't allow that challenge because I am not wearing any trousers. So, Lucy Porter. We are staying with Lucy Porter to talk about working from home. She has 46 more seconds, starting from now.
I love the challenge of trying to concentrate while being screamed at by two small children and having my laptop screen obscured by a furry bottom, usually my cat's, occasionally my husband's. Working from home means that I am desperate for any kind of company. The Jehovah's Witnesses now dread coming to my home in case I drag them in to tell me more and they find themselves addressing envelopes or doing my tax return. If you are working from home and are finding that you are missing the daily commute, you can simply get your spouse to jab you in the elbow every now and then while you try and eat a sandwich. Or if you really want to, you can pipe the smell of other people's BO into your home, which will effectively recreate being on any train.
Lucy, I sort of get the feeling if we'd set you a time limit of about 55 minutes, you still wouldn't have had trouble filling that time.
I just got a lot to say and no one to say it to, Nish.
So, Lucy, that's a point. Well done, Lucy Porter.
And that is, actually, with all the children at home, that is the first time I've been able to speak uninterrupted since last March.
It is time for us to go into our final round. Josie, I got something for you. The subject is a royal flush.
A royal flush.
I want you to speak to me for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on a royal flush, and your time starts now.
My wonderful pal, Andy Smart, taught me how to play poker when we were travelling on a tour bus once. And I remember a royal flush was 10, jack, king, queen, ace, all of the same suit. That was a royal flush. You couldn't mix the cards or have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. That's all I know on the game. Also, a royal flush can happen when Her Majesty does her ablutions of a morning. I wonder if she has a royal flusher standing in the chamber with his face against the corner, hand hovering over the golden chain. A royal flush can be when I go jogging with my mate Prince Charles round St. James's Park. I'm there with His Royal Highness and his trousers fall down. And that really is a royal flush.
Josie started speaking and at the end was speaking. So that's absolutely amazing. Well done, Josie Lawrence. Bonus point. That is all we have time for on this. Oh, it's, you know what? It's all right, okay, now it's starting to feel a bit sarcastic, okay? Before we go, one job remains, and that is to look at the scores. In fourth place, it's Giles with 3 points. Very tight this game, because in third place we've got Zoe Lyons with 4 points! And in a photo finish, close second, on 5 points, we have Lucy Porter. Which means this week's winner, with a mighty 6 points, is the fantastic Josie Lawrence! It has been an honour and a privilege to host Just a Minute, and it has especially been an honour and a privilege to host the show with such a wonderful and fantastic panel. So before we go, please give a massive round of applause to Giles Brandreth, Lucy Porter, Josie Lawrence and Zoe Lyons! The show was devised by Ian Messiter. Caroline Barlow blew the whistle to great effect. The producer was Victoria Lloyd, who makes the show for BBC Studios. I've been Nish Kumar. Thanks for listening, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute. Goodbye!
Just a Minute was a BBC Studios production. You can catch up with all the episodes so far on BBC Sounds.